96.
Right now, they are voting in Afghanistan. They expect a high voter turnout in these elections. Some say this could help marginalize the Taliban. But will the Afghanistan people defy what many call, of course, we know, the Islamist group's serious threats and actually make it to the polls at a risk of their own life? Once again, here we begin talking about freedoms on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and the rest of the crew, coast to coast and everywhere in between. That's why I say I love it when people speak out, whether it's the town hall meetings, calling talk shows like this one, writing op-ed pieces, sending emails to their congresspeople and their senators, because guess what? We live in a free country. You have a voice. We might not always agree with our neighbor's voice, but you have a voice. On election day, it is always so disappointing to me in this country that we don't have a higher voter turnout, because we're not being shot when we go to vote. We don't have to worry about trying to sneak in the bushes and dive in the dirt to try to crawl on our bellies to get into a voting place. And seriously, that's what some people have to do. And they're worried that something will happen to themselves or worse, their family, if they go and vote. So it's expected to be a high turnout. We'll see. Of course, in our next show, we'll have all of the wrap-up on Afghanistan and what happened there. Something else we're going to talk about on this show is cash for clunkers and the fact that still people waiting for reimbursements. So they said in New York, forget about it. They don't want it. They don't want to do it. The dealers don't want any parts of it, at least some of them, because it's hurting their business while they wait for Uncle Sam to reimburse them. So buy a clue, get a clue, and hurry up and staff up the people. I thought $2 billion was being funded for this program, right? Healthcare, of course, we're going to dive into that on this show. Plus, Don Hewitt, the creator for 60 Minutes, what a creative, brilliant guy. I can remember as a little girl sitting on the couch near my grandfather, who always watched 60 Minutes, and hearing that tick, 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 tick. And, of course, it's still growing strong. He was 86 years old. He was battling a very serious pancreatic cancer, and he died at his home in New York. He won 8 Emmys and 2 Peabody Awards, and he started working for CBS back in 1948. He was the executive producer of 60 Minutes when it first premiered. You know when it premiered? September 24th, 1968. Wow. He did step down in 2004, but, boy, it's still, like I said, going strong. Over 12 million people watched it last week with the Michael Vick interview. So Don Hewitt, definitely a professional that will be missed by many, many people. Let's take our first one right off the bat here. Tomas in Michigan. Hello.
Yes, Kate. You know, today's Wednesday. You know that?
Yes, I do. I just said people are voting right now as we speak in Afghanistan. They are headed to the polls.
Well, I think you should do something special on Wednesday on your show. You know, it's like hump day and everything. Should ask maybe, we should have like an hour of devil's advocate time where, you know, all the conservatives, they call up, pretend they're liberals and give you a tough time. You know?
Well, listen, I say on this show, I'm all about opinions. I'm not about shutting anyone out. So anybody, and we've had people that have very liberal point of views call this show. Any opinions, welcome. Remember that, anybody listening.
you
know that.
About the Iraqi thing where there are 100 people dead and 600 wounded.
Yeah, 400,
well, people have
yeah.
to remember that, although this is terrible, when Saddam was in charge, okay, he started a war, I think an 8-year war with Iraq that ended up with like 1.5 million casualties between Iran and Iraq. I mean, people were dying by 10,000 a day. And they were dumping chemicals on each other, and they were killing. I mean, it was just all-out war. There were no rules. And so we have to remember that although this is bad, when somebody says, oh, how can we continue to make all those people die? Now, we're, you know, you don't, I mean, it would be a lot worse if Saddam was still in power and had acquired, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Because, you know, it doesn't, people, when they think of weapons of mass destruction, Kay, they're always saying, how long will it take him to develop them? But that's not the situation. The situation is, how long will it take them to acquire them? Because if they get one without development, if North Korea gets one to them, or if the Russians slip one to them, they have one. Boom. Today. You see? So you can't really think about how long it's going to take them to develop something.
I agree. And I agree, by the way, that Saddam Hussein was a scumbag and should have died the death that he did for the things that he did and his sons did to the people in Iraq. But the question is, we don't want to see big casualties or 400 people wounded, Tomas. You know that, because we invested our blood, sweat, and tears in helping that country establish their government. So we want the government to be strong. And like you say, it is a little blip on the radar screen compared to what happened in the past. But let's hope that they persevere and that, you know, these attacks settle down and you don't keep seeing a rising in the insurgency, because you don't want those people to go through that.
Well, you know, I think you said it or on the news that the government, the Shiite government of Iraq, was blaming Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because people have to remember that 60% of the population in Iraq is Shiite, and right next door, like 85% of the people in Iran are Shiite. Matter of fact, Sistani, who was the number one Ayatollah in Iraq, guess where he was born and raised? Iran.
Yeah,
you see?
Yeah.
So they're blaming. In other words, what they're doing is they're blaming the Sunnis. And then let's just hope that it's not starting up again.
Yes.
The Sunni-Shiite thing. You know,
yes,
because,
I agree.
You know, when we were in there, of course, we were paying the Sunnis to keep, you know, to chill out, and they call themselves the Sons of the Awakening, and they align themselves with the American tribe, you know. So let's just hope that it's not turning into that again, because, you know, sometimes in a family squabble like that, you can't get into it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we know that, of course, the heavy religious feelings that you just described it, the Shiites and the Sunnis, and that was the problem. That's the problem, period, going in the Middle East, the delicate politics of the religious side of things, because it's about the religion. And people forget that. That's take anywhere. You could take any of the countries in the Middle East, and that's the case, and certainly it is in Iraq, no question about it. Tomas, a great American as always, concerned. And people are voting. That's the cool thing, though, in Afghanistan. We'll see what happens. Let's see how many people get to the polls.
Have a great night.
You too. So coming up on the show, we're going to do something completely different. Every couple of weeks, we check in with Harry Rinker and talk about what your stuff is worth. Now, this guy, his credentials, incredible. He's written like 10 books, a couple of them actually on the Smithsonian or in the Smithsonian, one on toy collecting. And I challenge everyone. I bet you collect something. Even Tomas. I should have asked him this. I wonder what he collects. Whether it's coins or matchbooks or salt and pepper shakers or Civil War guns. I know some people that do that. I bet you got something that you're curious as to what it's worth. 800-259-5791. Call us up next on ATN.
If you'd like to replace the ineffective and toxic cleaning products under your sink, you need to visit BioGreenClean.com. BioGreen Clean is the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms every other competitive cleaning product on the market today. BioGreen Clean is tough enough to take on the kitchen, the bathroom, your outdoor grill, and virtually anything in your car, home, boat, or office, yet is safe enough for your children and pets. BioGreen Clean does not contain harmful chemical solvents, such as commonly used chemicals, butox ethanol, petroleum products, bleach, hydrogen peroxide, annoying fragrances, or perfumes. BioGreen Clean is eco-friendly, effective, and your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. So get rid of all those harmful cleaning products and get the one that actually works. Visit BioGreenClean.com. That's B-I-O-GreenClean, BioGreenClean.com. Or call 877-572-6516. That's 877-572-6516. BioGreenClean. It works hard so you don't have to. Try it today.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. August 19th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $933.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $960.23, $480.11 for the half ounce, or $240.06 for a quarter ounce. That's $960.23, $480.11, and $240.06.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11,110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
All right, coming up later on the show, we're going to find out what you would do if something was happening in front of you. Would you do the Good Samaritan thing or say, ooh, I can't get involved? And that happened with the Milwaukee mayor, Tom Barrett, who actually did an incredible thing, tried to help a woman who was in the middle of a domestic violence dispute, and he ended up getting beat with a pipe as a result, but he's okay. That's the good news. Might have a fractured hand. He had a press conference today. We're going to let you hear that later on America Tonight. But as promised, you got to remember, this is the number to call up, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Harry Rinker joins us every couple of weeks. We talk about things in the collectibles world and what do you have of value, what are you curious about, what it's worth. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. So don't hesitate to dial the number. He is the expert, the guy to ask. Harry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's got to be a pretty, I'm thinking it's exciting times for you anyway, because I keep telling you that everywhere I go, people are selling things, talking about collecting things, talking, like somebody asked me about 8-track tapes today. They have an incredible collection, and I guess some people are interested in getting the 8-track tapes, so crazy.
Now, you know, there are some interesting 8-track tapes out there. Now, some of the Beatles tapes, some of the harder-to-find ones will do very well. There is, in fact, a price guide to 8-track tapes that finally came out about a year ago. Most of them aren't really that valuable. I mean, what good are they if you don't have a car to play them in? Or what good are they if you don't have a machine to play them in? Actually, one of the biggest collectors of them are the guys with cars from that era that have the 8-track machines in their cars.
Uh-huh.
And so they want to have a little 8-track, you know, music as they go streaming around the highway. So they're buyer. Some, as I say, have some value. A fair number of them are still 50 cents or a buck.
Wow, that's it, huh?
Yeah, but hey, by the way, did you hear there's been some big news in the comic book world here in the last couple of days. Spider-Man, number one, that's kind of like the premier comic for for what they call the Silver Age of comics, the comics that grew, got people that grew up reading comics in the 60s, sold for over $80,000 the other day. And a owner of an Archie number one, you know who Archie is, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Sold his comic book in protest because the new Archie comic book has Archie proposing to Veronica.
I know, I saw that.
Instead of Betty, so he got $35,000 for it. Now, he claims that he did it partly in protest, but I think he needed some money as well. Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is out in the antiques world right now, there's a lot of activity out there right now. At the high end of the market, our good friends at Heritage Auction Galleries down in the Texas are just going bananas right now, getting some really strong prices for things. Although, you know, I don't know if we talked about it the other week, Bob Gibson, you know, sold all his trophies and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think his Hall of Fame award, or no, his Cy Young award for his...
It could be Cy Young.
You know, yeah. It was the most valuable player one.
Yeah.
For his famous year when he had below one ERA.
Yep.
I think he brought over 100,000.
Oh, that's pretty good. Strong.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it is strong. I think there are people out there with money. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned this here on the air. I was up at a wonderful antique show outside of Syracuse, New York, and I was astonished at the crowd. So many young people. Now, I think a lot of what's going on right now is I think a lot of people are discovering that the antiques and collectibles in the antiques and collectibles market were cheaper than new in a lot of areas. And that makes a big difference, and people are out shopping again.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, I'll always get a letter or two asking me to ask you something when you come back on. And we should tell people that there is a way to directly go to you, too, with the mailbag.
Right. You know, we don't have any letters in the American Tonight mailbag. We'd love to have some. If you have a question about antiques or collectibles or something involving the antiques and collectibles field, you can email me your question. My email address is my full name, Harry L. Rinker at AOL.com, HARRYLRINKER, Harry L. Rinker at AOL.com. When you send me an email, just to start, I listen to American Tonight and give us the name of the station you're listening to. And I'll put it in the mailbag, and on one of my future appearances here on American Night, I'll be glad to answer the question. I don't have time to do personal answers, but we certainly will pick those questions that we think are appropriate to answer them here on the air.
All right, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. You can ask Harry a question right now if you hurry up and dial the digits. I did get an email here from Jan, and Jan said, Kate, next time Harry's back on the show, because I'm not sure when you're having him back on, would you ask him about the Bratz dolls? I know he kind of makes jokes about them, but I think they're worth something, right?
Well, there's going to be some, you know, first of all, there was no question that Bratz was on the road to replacing Barbie as the number one doll among young ladies. And, you know, I go out and I buy toys and stuff every year, and I had my $250 in a closet project, or about $300 in a closet project now. And I've always put some Bratz stuff in it, only because of the fact that I felt very strongly that the Bratz doll had influenced a generation, and I think it's true. I think there's been at least a generation of young ladies that grew up with it. Of course, there's a lot of speculation going on right now in Bratz because Mattel put them out of business. As you may know, the designer of that doll moved over to Bratz, and Mattel claimed that he developed a doll while he was working for Mattel, and unfortunately for the Bratz people, the Mattel won the case, and they just literally put the company out of business. And so, you know, there's not going to be a lot more Bratz out there. And so people bought up the old stock and so forth. I would say that it's going to be 20, 30 years before Bratz becomes collectible in the sense that we talk about collectability with people, you know, buying it on the secondary market and doing it because they play with it. You know, I got an interesting note from a friend of mine up in Canada about Chatty Cathy and the Dolls of the 50s. And he wants to know, you know, do they have long-term collectability over time? Because they're certainly hot dolls right now, the dolls from the 50s and 60s and 70s that the young ladies grew up with. Right now, if I was betting on a doll long-term, I think I'd look at the American Character dolls before I'd look at Bratz.
All right, so that's if you're trying to collect, that's some good advice.
Yeah, I mean,
because
well,
you think
the thing about it is, you know, when the market's speculative, I try to tell people that's the time to sell, not the time to buy.
Yeah, I got one other question here too, and it's from Mickey, and Mickey says that he's got an old World War II uniform, an army uniform.
Right, and
it doesn't give much more description.
No, but with World War II uniforms, several things are critical. One, how much of the uniform do you have? Do you have the jacket? Do you have the pants? Do you have the shirt? Most importantly, do you have the underwear? Believe it or not, that's the hardest stuff to find. The other thing is, does the uniform have the insignias on it of the unit where the person served? And do you know who this uniform it is? And do you have a picture of the soldier wearing it? All these are important to the collector. The collector pays a premium for a uniform that can be identified with a specific person or a specific unit and so forth. You want to be careful. Almost all the World War II patches are being reproduced, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people that go out and buy the repro patches and sew them on the old uniforms. A basic World War II uniform, the kind you'd find up in the attic that may have the Eisenhower jacket with it, you could be looking at $30 to $50. But if you have the name of the guy that wore it and the battle ribbons and all the rest of that, you could be looking at $50 plus, possibly.
Wow. All right, there may be some other people listening that
World War II stuff, Kate, is hot.
Yeah, I heard that. Somebody else told me that as well. Wow, we may get more questions about that. Don't forget, in another couple of weeks, Harry will be back with us, so save up those questions, and you can call in live at 800-259-5791. Who's on your show this week?
Let's see. Coming up, yes, I should know that, shouldn't I? You know what? Let me try to think. I think we've got someone talking about some of the old prints. You remember Courier and Ives?
Mm.
And there's a prince called Kellogg Prince that came out of Connecticut. I think we have the author of that book and some others.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks a lot. You take care now, kiddo.
All right. You too. You take care as well. Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible. We're bouncing back to Iraq and Afghanistan and some other things. 800-259-5791. Kate hanging with you here at the helm of ATN.
Is all day long.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
While a new poll that I told you about shows that many Americans are pretty sour when it comes to the Afghanistan war, the people of Afghanistan are going to the polls to vote amid the possibility that the Taliban could actually attack them. There is that threat, and they have issued those warnings to the people. If you go and vote, then we could be coming after you. So, of course, they had to beef up security, both with the Americans and other troops and NATO troops, too, to try to help protect the people. And they are voting now as we speak, as I said, on the air right now in Afghanistan. They are voting. Karzai already voted, in fact, just a short while ago. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about something that really, really makes me want to scream. Of course, I won't put you through that. I don't have a great scream anyway. But the Lockerbie bomber actually is going free. They decided in Scotland, after talking to Al Megrahi, who was the convicted bomber who's got terminal cancer, after talking to him, after talking to various people, you know, that lost people in the flight, I guess, is supposedly Scotland Yard is saying that, they decided to release him on compassionate grounds. And how do we feel about that in the United States? We'll let you hear a little clip of Hillary Clinton and some others coming up round the bend. But first, let's go to Ken, who's listening to us in Texas. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for hanging through. What's on your mind?
I just tuned in. I listen on the Internet, and basically the first caller I heard was discussing the idea that a lot of the casualties we're suffering in Iraq, and I guess by implication Afghanistan, in the wars that we're fighting right now, they're not that numerically equivalent to what, you know, Saddam did when he was fighting the war with Iran.
Right.
So my question, it hit me immediately, was, as I understand it, we were supporting Saddam, and he was an ally at that time when he was having the war with Iran.
Now, you're right. Originally, that's exactly what happened, because remember, what president kind of got stung by the whole Iran-Iraq thing? So, yes, absolutely. Originally, Saddam Hussein was somebody that the United States was protecting, I guess, is the word for it. And then things switched, obviously, with his regime, as sometimes it often does in the Middle East. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, well, there it is, right in front of us.
Yeah, so, and now you see.
You know, appreciate the opportunity to put that out, because this idea of comparing deaths, you know, if it was your death, what are you going to compare it against?
Yeah.
And to me, one body or one soldier put in harm's way for anything less than defense of our country is really a waste of a human life. So let's all get on board that it's not a matter of, hey, he's a bad guy, we're not, because he was our friend or whatever you call it when you're supporting another country.
Sure.
And that's right on the record, just like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Thanks for the call, Ken. And Ken agrees with what I said. Of course, we don't want to see the heavy casualties, which Tomas was talking about with Iran, Iraq. You don't want to see that. But as I said, you know, the money that was spent, the American lives that were shed in that one, you hope that government stands because of so many that were killed, that served over and over and over again for one tour, another tour, another tour, which is similar to what we're talking about in Afghanistan. You know, I would go so far as it's interesting. I was out with a friend over the weekend, and we were talking about guns. And this particular friend said to me, hey, listen, you know, this whole thing with here we go again, we're in Afghanistan, and I think of how much courage the people have that go and they fight, meaning the American kids, and I say kids because some of the younger ones that enlist, the men and women. And I think that ultimately shouldn't it be about I'm ready to grab a weapon tomorrow if I have to defend our shores, but we keep talking about things that are in other places. How much do you give and do you give and do you give and do you give? And when is war... when is it necessary for us to step into a region? Well, the thought among many of the people that I've had on this show is obviously you have to be concerned about the Taliban. You have to be concerned about their reach. And, of course, we lost how many of 3,000 people as a result. So are you still going after who? You're going after the Taliban. How do you completely snuff out the Taliban? And maybe we're in the wrong spot, because once again, what about Pakistan and who's leading the charge in Pakistan, and what about their government that is riddled with corruption and the march that the Taliban is making to Islamabad, and how dangerous is that? That's why you can see that you've got the majority of Americans saying the war in Afghanistan, they don't feel like it's worth fighting. What is the end game? I have already mentioned this. We're going to have almost 70,000 troops there by the year's end, and Ken said it. You know, one life is one life is one life. How do you compare it? And by the way, you know, more troops were killed today in Afghanistan. Remember, it used to be with Iraq, they would list, I thought this was great, ABC did it, and probably some others did it as well, but when they would talk about famous people dying, like you have Don Hewitt dying today, they would also mention the soldiers who lost their lives. So you can see that the people are very, 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 very tired of the situation in the Middle East. So, you know, you look at the AP polls from back in mid-July, 44% favoring the war, 53% opposed, and people were opposed to the Iraq war by a 2-to-1 margin. But I don't think that anything's going to change in Afghanistan. What you hear from the former generals is McChrystal will come back. They have a different game plan. They've learned from Iraq. You know, this could be a shorter war than what we saw in Baghdad and the surrounding areas in that country. But then, boy, you start to compare them and you realize, too, how are these people going to get the money for their own private force, which which is what I said was so dangerous without a doubt. All right, we move on from there to something that I promised that we would get to. The mayor of Milwaukee, closer to home, I'm going to say bravo to him, because he did what a lot of people don't do these days. I mean, I hope I'm wrong on that. I hope there are more Good Samaritans out there. He got involved. He was with his daughter. He didn't have to do it. There was a domestic dispute apparently going down at the state fair, and he decided that he was going to jump in to help the woman who was screaming, somebody call 911, and then he was clubbed with a pipe and ends up with a fractured hand. His face is busted up. You could see when he was at the press conference. But bravo to you, Mr. Mayor, for having the courage to do what you did. Because, again, I hope I'm wrong, and we'll talk about it, but I hope if I were in trouble, if something were happening to me and I screamed for help, I hope that somebody would aid me instead of saying, oh, turn their head. Geez, I'll call 911, but I can't. I'm not getting involved in the middle of this. So anyway, the mayor, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, holds this press conference because people were so concerned about him, and here's what he had to say about how he was feeling and all that.
Within seconds, we realized the problem was not with the baby, it was with the man. And he came up and was very, very agitated. And events took off from there very, very quickly.
Barrett wouldn't give more detail on the beating, citing the investigation. But his brother did describe the incident to CNN, saying the other man punched Mayor Barrett, threw him to the ground, then...
This guy has a police baton that extends, and he is basically pounding Tom over and over with this baton, and knocks Tom's, like a tooth on the bottom of Tom's mouth, out right at the root.
My first reaction was, that's pretty bizarre. We were literally walking down the street. And so that... We don't want to say anything more than that. We were literally walking down the street.
All right, so that's what he said. They were at the state fair. They were going down the street. The woman called for help. They thought it was maybe something with the baby. He reacted, and then he gets clubbed, and it could have been, I mean, it was bad. He looked bad as his hand is fractured, like I said, but he got involved. How many of you would get involved if you saw something like that, or would you say, oof, no, can't go there, can't do that, but I will call 911. Let's test it on Donovan Madsen, our technical maestro here for America Tonight. Donovan, would you jump in if you saw something happening and somebody yelled for help, asked you for help?
Not only would I, but I have actually on a couple of past occasions. In fact, my current girlfriend is used to seeing me go on alert, as she likes to call it, and then she pulls out her cell phone and gets ready to dial 911 while I'm usually off running. I like to take care of my neighbors in my neighborhood and don't like seeing any sort of emergency situation going on without stepping in.
Right, so you've had things happen and you've gone to the aid of other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for you, bravo. I would do the same thing. I can't say if someone had a sawed-off shotgun in my head, you know, pointed at my head, what I would do. But I would help somebody. You know, I would help somebody if they were stuck on the side of the road. I would help somebody that was screaming out for help. I think it's very, very sad that people turn their backs on other people. And, you know, it's bravo to that mayor, like I said. I got a quick story about something that happened to me in Europe, and I'll tell you exactly how that went down. Plus some odds and ends. That's next on America Tonight.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you and will save you right around 50% over
you're smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit idstronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. Airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Talking about Mayor Barrett, the Milwaukee mayor who intervened much to his own detriment, but to the aid of the woman with a small child. So, again, good for him. In fact, do we have some applause? There they go. They are amped. They are ready. The studio audience for ATN, ladies and gentlemen. That's the daily salute. He deserves it. You got to think to yourself, how many? It's a great question. How many of you would lend a hand? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Okay, here's my quick story. I was fortunate enough to spend a couple semesters in Spain. It was really cheap. The exchange rate was good at the time. And so I was able to swing it when I was in college. So I went over to Madrid. The people were great. They asked me a million questions about our government and the United States and what it was life like and all this other sort of stuff. I was going to school at Madrid, taking business classes and other things. On the very last day that I was there, I was with a friend, and we were going to the pool, the piscina, as they say in Spanish. In Madrid, you have to remember, is the size of New York City. Only everybody speaks Spanish, okay? So we're going to the pool, we're on the bus, it's a normal thing. Get off the bus and there's some gypsies following us. They just look like normal people, but I could tell something was wrong because they were watching us a little bit on the bus and then got up at the same time that we did. So I said to my friend, run. I knew something wasn't right. So she went in one direction, I went in the other. They came after me, she turned around and came to help me. The guy, and this is in broad daylight, and there's lots of people around by the time where we had stopped, there's lots of people around. And he had taken my arm behind my back. I couldn't get loose, and I thought, I'm just going to fight. If he has a weapon or not, I couldn't hotel. In the meantime, she gets into it with the woman, Gypsy, who stabs her. But it was with a butter knife, so she had, like, a flesh wound. And you're just, you know, anybody listening, if you've had these things happen, you're just kind of, like, a little bit in shock, but you're going through the moment. So I am yelling. I am screaming, Ayudharma, Ayudharma, to anyone thinking, you know, gosh, someone will help us. And there are people buzzing by us. Nobody, just icy cold stare. I mean, just not getting involved. And that's the first time that ever happened to me. And, boy, that was a real eye-opener. And I was, what, like 20 years old or something. End of the story, it was fine. We went to the police station. Of course, they're not going to find the gypsies. They stole her jewelry and took some stuff from her, didn't take anything from me. But like I said, that's that. Where was the Good Samaritan for us in the middle of this, you know, big city? And, of course, they weren't there. So I knew at a young age, because previous to that I had never had anything happen, that if I were in a situation to help somebody and they were yelling at me for my help, that yes, indeed, I would respond, because I know what that's like. You may have a similar story or a story of helping someone that you want to share. 800-259-5791. Don is listening to us in Wyoming. House owner Don. Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, Kate. How have you been?
Great. It's good to hear from you. So the whole house process is going okay. You're going through it, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Kate. It's gut-wrenching. People have told me about the horrors of this. Maybe that's the way I stayed away from it. But I tell you what, you know, the things into the underwriters right now, we're just about done. But, I mean, these guys are worse than the IRS, it seems like, you know? So anyway, though. It's looking pretty good. I think we close tomorrow, so.
Good. Congratulations.
Hey, I got something for you. So just some funny things I've been hearing here lately, and you know, I just shake my head, and you know, the big thing about this new Chevy Volt, and I guess in one perspective, you know, they've got, you're going to get, what, 230 miles to the gallon, so that, I guess that weans us off of gasoline in a sense. You know, if you get cars that are getting, you know, 230 miles a gallon. But where do you think that electricity is going to come from when you get to recharge it?
From your house? Or are you going to pay for it?
Well, no. But my point is, where does the electricity come from? You know?
Right. So you're going to pay. It's going to pay anyway. It's fuel.
Well, no. Here's the funny part about all of this. Okay. First of all, I think you have to understand the breakdown. And I saw this a while back in the paper. You know, the breakdown of where carbon emissions comes from in the United States, okay? 33% comes from planes, trains, and automobiles.
Right.
Only a third of it, okay? 17% comes comes from planes, trains, and automobiles. 17% comes from factories, okay? And would you like to know where the rest of it comes from?
You're going to say electricity.
It's roughly 54%, right. Coal-fired plants, the same plants that had to be built because why? Jane Fonda and all her little green, you know, no nuke pals back in the 70s said, oh, no, we can't build nuclear power plants to save the environment. No, we can't do that because, everybody will die from radiation. The French have had, I think they've got like 56 nuclear power plants over there. And they generate like half the electricity for Europe.
Yeah.
You ever hear of any nuclear accidents coming from France?
No. We've talked about that. It's so crazy. I just don't understand.
But my point is that what these greeny people are trying to do is what do people do? People see these coal-fired plants? No, of course not. They keep them away from cities. Okay? We got one of them about 30 miles outside of the city that I live in. Okay? But, you know, Wyoming, everything's rural anyways. Okay, but the point being is that you don't see coal-fired plants putting off all the pollution that they put off, okay? You don't see factories for the most part doing that, you know, especially around major cities, but there are, in other areas. But what people do see every day is thousands and thousands of cars and buses and trucks, okay? And they go, oh, my gosh, look at all this pollution. So here you got the government and all the greenies going, oh, we've got to cut this in automobiles, we've got to cut this. That's not where the pollution's coming from, the majority of it, Kate. It's coming from the coal-fired plants. If you want to solve it, and then they're sitting there calling, well, let's go to electric cars. Well, it's going to charge electricity. Where are you going to get that electricity from? You're just going to have to build more coal-fired plants. You know, I mean, it's just stupid.
It's
just little
stupid, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That it runs in. You know, I just laugh because I'm like, yeah, it's a great idea to get cars off of, you know, to where we can cut back gasoline. Okay, that would be great. Get off of foreign oil. Okay, but the point is, you're just, it's not like all of a sudden because this car, instead of it burning down, which, by the way, did I tell you I bought a turbo diesel Jetta?
No. What's that like?
Well, other than it sounding like a diesel, take a guess on my first tank, what I got miles per gallon.
I'm going to make a crazy guess. 60-something.
Oh, that's a little crazy. No, I got 47, so.
47? That's still good. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I don't know what I get. I think I get 42 or something. So you're up there on the list.
Yeah, that's the highest, it's supposed to be the highest fuel, or mile per gallon car, I decided to sell it. Mom kept bugging me for the Jaguar, so I sold her the Jaguar and said, you know what, I'm going to have a longer commute now because where this house is at is another 10 miles away from where I work, from where the trucking company is, so I got to,
right.
You know, and he just said, well, that's another 100 miles a week, so maybe I better figure out a way to save fuel, you know, so it's helped out. I mean, I've always had to fuel up. We're out 2-3 weeks into the month, and I've only fueled up twice this month.
Great.
But one last thing, you know, it's just funny. You just have to sit back when you hear all these wild things coming out of Washington, and you sit back and you go, is that really going to save the environment? Is it really going to save, you know? I mean, if they really, really wanted to do something, they'd do their best. And I know the coal lobby is huge, but like I said, there's another one, you know, I don't think, you know, they could convert coal to diesel fuel and wean us off of, you know, there'd be less oil we'd have to get from the Middle East, you know, but, you know, if they really want to attack the issue, they got to say, you know what, yeah, solar and wind are great ideas, Kate. But the machine, you know, these turbines, and I've talked to you tons of times about all these turbines we're trying to build here in Wyoming,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, but they're expensive, Kate. They're $1.5 million a piece, you know. And once you add it up, it comes down to basically the cost per kilowatt hour. You know?
Right.
And,
it doesn't pay for itself, absolutely. And that's the problem. The average American, are they going to have a windmill in their backyard? Are you kidding me? How can they pay for it? Don, you take care. Good luck with the rest of that house stuff. I hope that you sign on the dotted line in the next day or two. It sounds like it's going in the right direction. I mean, Don makes a good point. We've had people on talking about nuclear energy before and the fact that France, that's primarily what they operate on, and they do it successfully, so then we find ourselves in this situation. It's just the same old politics as usual, whose pocket is whatever politician, and that's what the push is. Oh, we're going to have green jobs. Yeah, right. All right, we'll leave you with this. It was Douglas MacArthur who said, I know war as few other men now living know it, and nothing to me is more revolting.
And events took off from there very, very quickly.